This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to set all that other stuff aside for a little bit. Get back to it. Because you know what time it is. It's Monday. Every single Monday at this time, we do the same thing without fail. We do Medal of Honor Monday. We take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. That's it. You can do this. I hope you do this with your kids, your class, your team, your Sunday school, your friends. This is easy. These are all these Medal of Honor citations. They're all online. They're all free. Everyone that's ever been earned, free. Let's talk about these heroes. Let's remember them. Let's remember their deeds. Let's hold somebody better up to our culture and say, look, that's who and what you're supposed to be. And remember, you can email me love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions, and Medal of Honor recommendations. If you have one you love or one that's close to you, relative, friend, like I said, just something you're interested in. Somebody emailed this one. A most worthy Medal of Honor winner mentioned for your show from the Korean War. Anyway, the guy's name is Louis Joseph Sabil. So without further ado, United States Air Force. These are rare. United States Air Force. Go.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
And this took place August 5th, 1950 in Korea. Major Sabil distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty during an attack on a camouflaged area containing a concentration of enemy troops, artillery, and armored vehicles. Major Sabil's F-51 aircraft was severely damaged by anti-aircraft fire. Although fully cognizant of the short period he could remain airborne, he deliberately ignored the possibility of survival by abandoning the aircraft or by crash landing and continued his attack on enemy forces threatening the security of friendly ground troops. In his determination to inflict maximum damage upon the enemy, Major Sabil again exposed himself to the intense fire of enemy gun batteries and dived on the target to his death. The superior leadership, daring, and selfless devotion to duty which he displayed in the execution of an extremely dangerous mission were an inspiration to both his subordinates and superiors and reflect the highest credit upon himself, the U.S. Air Force, and the armed forces of the United Nations. And you should know that he was wounded and he tried to drop a bomb and it got stuck on his plane. And that's why he dove onto them to explode the bomb onto the enemy. And this was all to protect our guys. My goodness. And I'd say the man has earned some taps, wouldn't you? Rest in peace, brother. All right, now let's get back to the news of the day. There is something that you're going to have to watch out for, and I'm going to have to watch out for as we move forward, and it's already happening all over the place. This headline pairs greatly with the little soundbite we have. One, the soundbite is from MSNBC. Listen to this. They're talking about Israel. Listen to how they describe their government.
The question is really going to be for the Israeli establishment, once they do get their hands on this situation, understand just the magnitude of what has happened, is going to be how do they respond. And there is a political calculation. As I mentioned, the prime minister of Israel, the most right-wing in its history, the most far-right extremist Jewish nationalist, Jewish supremacist government that has existed in Israel, has been over the past...
By law, you're not characterizing, by the way. That's actually what they've written into their
That
law.
Is just like factually, you know what I mean?
Far-right extremist. It's a far-right extremist. No, it's just a fact. And the guy chimes in, well, that's just a fact. Well, yeah, it's a fact. Obviously, it's a far-right extremist. I see this headline from CNN, of course. Pressure to fill the House Speaker vacancy builds as the crisis unfolds in Israel. Oh, my goodness, there's a crisis in Israel. We need a Speaker of the House. You know Tommy Tuberville and his blocking of all those, of the blanket approvals of all the generals and admirals? Immediately saw people in the Biden administration come out. He must stop this now because of what's happening in Israel. Remember what we talked about guarding your emotions, about guarding them? One of the reasons it's so important for you and me to guard our emotions during this time is the evil communists who run the United States of America. They don't give a crap about death and all this other stuff going on. They're not going to slow down. They're not going to back off. And their quest to destroy this nation, they are not going to be dissuaded by anything. And because these are soulless demons who don't give a crap about anything but power and destruction, they're going to use your emotions, the emotions of the day, against you to get more power for themselves. They do it over and over and over again, and you're going to see this without end. All of them. And guess what? It's not actually just the left doing it. I've seen all kinds of people on the right doing this immediately. Immediately in the wake of all this Israel stuff. It became about the GOP presidential primary. Well, this would never have happened if we had Ron DeSantis. Well, if only Trump was there, he would have fixed all this. Immediately, people domestically take horrific things and they use them for their own selfish purposes, their own selfish goals. And that is something that we all have to guard against at all times. War is horrible. Absolutely horrible. Don't let any of these demons domestically use it against you. Now, speaking domestically, let's discuss a future that I'm concerned about, and then we're going to get off of all this. When I was talking about Iran has to get involved in this because Israel is going to force them to get involved in this. Iran announced they were behind the attack. Israel doesn't have a choice. They have to attack Iran, whether it's conventional, which I doubt, or unconventional, which is what I would say is probably more likely, it's going to be very clearly Israel. You cannot allow a nation state to attack your citizens like that without a response. Okay, so what if that happens, and then we're over there, and then Russia decides to get involved and use that as their version of a proxy war, the way we're doing in Ukraine? What if this is the beginning of World War III? And I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying it is. But you could easily see a scenario where that's how it works out, that this is the start of World War III. If you can't see how this could turn into that, man, you're Stevie Wonder. It's right in front of your eyes. It's here. So if that happens, if World War III spins up, let's discuss what we are facing domestically. Well, let's talk military first. And no, I'm not going to do the standard thing that I could do with all this woke crap in the military. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. That's just not where I'm going to lead. Let's talk about the men and women who are fighting. And now we have women who are fighting too, which is friggin' embarrassing. But men and women who will be fighting on the ground. On the ground. Are we physically ready? When you talk about a potential world war, because we love our country, you love your country, and I love my country, we look back fondly on World War II, and it's a source of pride for us as Americans because we were the engine who won that war for the world. Yes, there's no question the Soviets killed more Nazis and lost more lives than anyone else, But without America's economic engine powering the world, we don't win that war. The world was saved by the United States of America in World War II. And we're proud of that, justifiably so. The largest event in human history was won because of us. Talk about that's one. You go ahead and put that one at the tippy top of your resume right there. Hey, you're all exist outside of Hitler's rule and the Emperor of Japan's rule because of us. It's a good thing. But it can lead to a dangerous, bad thing. And we will discuss that in more detail in a moment. I'm going to get to that diaspora just a little bit here in a little bit, and I'm going to do a little bit on it. I'm not going to do a ton on it today. Before we get to any of that, let's talk real quickly about health and nutrition. You feel better when you eat good, don't you? When you get actual nutrition. I'm going to have a steak and eggs and fruit. You feel good. And then when you do what I did on Sunday and you go to Taco Bell and you slaughter a couple quesadillas and some nachos, yes, it's delicious, but man, you don't feel good. Why? Nutrition. Either your body's getting it or it's not. Well, your dog's the same way. You give your dog Taco Bell every meal when you give him dog food. Dog food is empty calories. There's no nutrition in it. It's brown because it's dead. It's all just empty. Your dog needs nutrition the same way you do. You will see a difference in your dog's breath and energy and coat and how long he lives. Go get a free Jumpstart trial bag with Rough Greens. Pour it on your dog's food. Let your dog live. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. All right, so let's discuss this thing. What if all this thing whips us all up? By the way, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Download the podcast, iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating on iTunes in a review talking about how handsome I am, too. What, Chris? It's important still. That's a basis for what the show is. Anyway, let's talk about it like this. What if this does spin us up? What if this spins us up and it turns into some kind of global conflict? We Americans, like I mentioned, we're proud of World War II because of what this nation did. And because we're proud of what this nation did, we can fool ourselves into thinking we are still that nation. Militarily, let's just discuss this. We are the biggest, most well-funded military in the world, no, especially Navy-wise. No one else can touch us there. But people-wise, all the ships, and aircraft carriers, and planes in the world, they're wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad we have them. But in the end, you have to have the people who can endure a conflict like this. Well, now we have women in combat. Most people haven't sat and thought about how horrible that's going to be the first time you get a picture of an American woman in uniform who's been killed. Believe me, it hits different than a man, and it's not like a man is a beautiful sight. You see a woman who's been killed like that, or God forbid, captured, probably even worse than getting killed for a woman, really, really, really bad. So we have that. We also don't have a population anymore that is physically able to fight World War III. And let's pause. I can't stress enough how physically grueling and frankly torturous combat is. Read the stories. It doesn't matter where you are. Go back to World War II if you want to get nostalgic about it. Read the men at Bastogne. Sitting there, freezing to death without cold weather gear in their trenches. Read about the Marines in the Pacific dying of disease, dysentery, very, very horrible disease, eaten by crocodiles, the sweat, the misery, the horror. The naval ships, you read about these naval ships in combat, go read that book, Last Stand of the Tin Can Sailors. Go read that book and read what those guys went through physically in the middle of combat. The brutality. The blood, the sweat, the carrying friends, the heat, the horror of it. Well, physically, Americans are fat and drugged up. Statistically, that's not me just dogging on us. We're pilled out. You talk to military recruiters, they can't find a young person who's qualified. Either he's too stupid or he's on pills and or he's too fat. The Army just had to put in a brand new fat program to get people who could even get people to the place where they can get to boot camp. In America in 1940, we had a nation full of physically active young people. And I'm not doing that old thing, well, we were all just farmers back then. That's not true. Yes, we had tons of farmers, but there were all kinds of people who lived in the cities and the country and everywhere else back then. But physically, we had a nation of young men who were physically ready, even though they hadn't been trained for war and didn't know they were going to war. We had a nation of men physically able to do it. Back then, you don't have that nation anymore. I hope we can get it back, but that nation is gone. Our young men are high and fat now. And now we'll throw in the women who are high and fat along with them. So that's militarily. We don't have the personnel for something like this, for a WW3. We don't have the oil for something like this. Have you seen the latest and greatest? Headline, oil prices are now rising. This is from the National Pulse. And Biden already drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Oh, but Jesse, in a time of war, we'd make more. We gave up our oil refining capacity. Why do you think we pull oil out of the ground here and we ship it to other nations to be refined? Why do you think that is? We allow these commie scum green dirt balls on the left, on the Republican and Democrat side, because half the Republicans will still talk about carbon. Blah, blah, blah. We allowed them to take away our ability to produce oil. Well, a nation runs on that. A military, an army runs on that. If you're going to kick off WW3, you better have access to virtually unlimited quantities of oil, or that big, beautiful Navy you have, with the exception of the nuclear-powered version, it's all just going to sit there. It ain't going to do nothing. Ships that don't move don't do a whole lot of good, do they? So we don't have the oil capacity for it. We don't have the manufacturing capacity for it. Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about something else real quick. Obviously, we can't forget about the horrors that are still taking place here in our country as well. Like trafficking, child trafficking. You know, the average age of a child trafficked in America is 14. This happens. It's happening all around you right now. American kids being preyed upon on social media, being trafficked for pictures, and they'll get kids to run away from home. Mom and dad are mean to you. Come live with me. We'll hang out. Where they then, it's really bad. It's a very bad problem Americans are just now waking up to. I support the Acervo Project because they're out there stopping it, rescuing children and putting bad guys in prison. That's what you support when you support the Acervo Project. ASSERVO, by the way. Go to the acervoproject.org. $14 a month is what they need to keep on churning and saving those kids. The acervoproject.org. Sign up, pledge your $14 a month, and let's go save some kids and throw some scumbags in prison. Sound good? All right, a little bit more on WW3. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
it's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Phil Collins Show. Sorry, it's the Jesse Kelly Show here on a Monday that is obviously a lot to take in, but we're playing out a scenario here. Are we ready? If this turns into some sort of a global conflict, and I don't know that. But if it does, are we ready? And I'm explaining why we are a different nation now. Manufacturing-wise, China makes everything. And people will point, when you point that out, people will say, well, no, Jesse, America weren't ready for World War II's manufacturing either, but they turned it around right away. You don't understand. We already had the factories. We already had everything in place. We don't have that anymore. It's gone. If I take a collegiate wrestler, some stud, collegiate wrestler. I can, well, not me, but a good football coach and trainer, if that guy's never played football in his life, can turn that guy into a football player probably in a fairly short amount of time. Why? Everything's already in place. I already have this extremely physically fit, strong young man who understands leverage and he's in shape. And I can turn that guy into a football player, or a coach could turn that guy into a football player. But if it's a 450-pound guy who's 30 years old and he's done nothing but eat Twinkies and play video games his entire life, well, I can't just turn that guy into a football player. Not without years. At least a year, probably a lot more. America had the manufacturing bones in place so we could go to the auto manufacturers in Detroit and say, hey, no more cars, tanks now. The bones are there. They can switch things up and churn them out. The bones are gone because we shipped all our manufacturing to China. And all that I just mentioned, our population, and our oil, and the manufacturing, honestly, all that pales in comparison to the most devastating thing that people are not considering as everybody ramps everything up because they're all emotional today. We don't have the trust in our institutions anymore. We don't. You assume everything, the FBI, CIA, government, State Department, you assume everything they say to you is a lie. And so do I. Whenever they're speaking, I assume they're lying. Whatever they're saying, I assume they're lying. I think our medical establishment will lie to me. Our government will lie to me. Our media will obviously lie to me. Our intelligence agencies will lie to us. Remember the whole Russian disinformation thing? Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation. That was our intelligence agency. The FBI will most definitely lie to me if they're not arresting me. All they've done is lie over and over and over again. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. Americans feel this way. If these people whip things up and this thing goes bad, remember, we already have Lebanon's involved already. Rockets are going back and forth in Lebanon. Hezbollah, the terrorist cells are turning on. It's not just the Sunnis, it's the Shias, it's the, everybody's coming. So if this does ramp up and the American people don't trust any of their institutions anymore, well, how's that work? It doesn't work. It doesn't. You can't have a nation already at war with itself turn around and go to war with someone else. It won't work. It won't work. Plus, how many people in this country, how many of them would actually even want us to win? Have you asked that? You thought about that? Have you seen the lack of patriotism out there now? Not hard to look around and find a bunch of people who think this place sucks. And a bunch of people in this country, they like what they saw. Raped women, kids shot in the face, horrible stuff, right? It's horrible stuff. It's essentially a pogrom. If you know anything about the history of pogroms or pogroms, I don't know how to say it. I hear it said both ways. But if you know anything about the history, you know what you do know what a pogrom is, right? Yes, Chris, I know that you probably know. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, I'm aware that you've probably been made aware. A pogrom was, okay, all right, let's do the diaspora thing really quickly. Why are there Jews all over the world now? And what's with this whole new, quote, state of Israel? Why they call it a state of Israel? Well, you know biblically, you know about the story of that's the land that God gave his chosen people, the Jews and Moses, and you know all those things, okay? So Israel eventually comes in, and they're a nation back then, way, 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 way back in the day, King David, all that stuff. Well, there were several Jewish diasporas. One was the Assyrians. Assyrians were obviously a brutal, frankly, evil people. They were, but a fascinating empire. And the Assyrians had a policy, which, if you're into the whole conquest thing, is probably a fairly smart policy, to be honest with you. When the Assyrians took over an area, when they conquered you, they believed if they pulled the people who were there out of it, it would help them pacify that area more, essentially sever the ties a people have with their homeland, and they're more conquerable. The Assyrians, when they took care of the Jews, when they took the Jews, they put hooks through their lips and noses and hauled them out of the country. This is not something just for the Israelites. They did this everywhere they conquered. They'd take the people and pull them out and ship them back to Assyria. Then they'd send their people in and occupy it. So already that was the Jews getting scattered. And then the Babylonians scattered the Jews. But that's not really what most people are talking about when they talk about the Jewish diaspora. What most people are talking about is, wait, why were there no Jews left in Israel? Well, the Romans, you've seen the map of the Roman Empire. It's essentially a gigantic circle of the Mediterranean. And I realize they went clear up into Europe and up into Britain, but if you look at the Mediterranean Roman Empire, it's that. So it was inevitable they were going to come into contact with the Israelis. Of course, they did. And Romans, well, they did what Romans did. They conquered them. They took it over. And the Romans did what they always do. They, quote, allowed them to have a king. Oh, no. Israelis, you Jews can have a king. No, that's fine. And a governor and all those things. Of course, the king had to be approved by the Romans. So it couldn't be somebody. Imagine this. Think about this. Think about this. What this would be like. Think about America gets taken over by China. And China tells us, hey, you can have a president. Going to have to be a president we approve of, though. So you'd never get a pro-American president ever. You'd always have a pro-Chinese president. And you, as a patriot, how much would that grade on you? I mean, think about how much Joe Biden grades on you just because he hates the country. Think if you had an openly Chinese president, or pro-China president, pro-Chi-Com president. It would be bothersome, wouldn't it? Well, it was bothersome for the Israelis. And because of their views on God. Remember, they're monotheistic. There is one God. And the Romans, very much not monotheistic. The Jews, horrified by Roman religious practices, and
the Jews, many of them very vocal about the fact, you heathens are all going to hell. What is the sun god? What are you talking about? It was a big problem for them. And so they started rebelling. They were always rebelling. I actually think it's one of the coolest parts about the history of Israel, how they just would not stop rebelling. They'd put down a rebellion. 15 minutes later, they're all whipped up in a frenzy again. And these were big boy rebellions. When I say rebellion, I don't mean there's 100 angry guys in the town square. We're talking 50,000 man armies squaring off with the Romans and winning on occasion, but winning battles, not winning wars. Finally, about 70 AD, Romans have had about enough of this crap. And we'll finish this story in just a moment because this is going to take me to pogroms and all those other things. Before we get to that, let's do this really quickly. Remember, we are surrounded by dangerous people here, a lot of them. A lot of them. And that's not just people who've illegally poured into this country. Americans are drugged out now, desperate, angry. We all need to have something on us at all times to protect ourselves with at all times. And I want to stress to you, get a hero gun or a hero arrow and please keep it on you. Look, I do this. Today, I went for a ruck this morning. Me, I'm 6'8". In a totally safe area. I went for a ruck today, threw a bunch of weight in a pack, and I was just out walking around. Guess what was in my pack? Hero gun. Why? Jesse, what's going to happen? I don't know, but I promise you one thing. If something does, I'm going to have something to defend myself with. It's non-lethal, so you don't need a concealed carry permit. Your mom needs one, your wife, your daughter, your son. Go. Hero2020.com code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Make sure you get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in early this week. I should note, don't be yelling at me. I won't be here on Friday. I have suit things to do. It's not my choice, but I got to go. Got to go deal with some suit things. Don't worry, it's good things, not bad things. I got to go deal with some suit things. So Thursday will be Ask Dr. Jesse Day this week. So get those in whenever. All right, back to this Jewish diaspora. So the Romans taking over the Jews. Jews are chafing under Roman rule, to put it mildly, all these rebellions. Finally, they've had about enough of it. And the Romans really, they did spite very, 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 very well. Just ask the Carthaginians. When the Romans have had enough of your crap, you're in very, very deep trouble. This is about the time that siege of Masada happened. I'm not going to go through the history of that. We've done that before. That really, really cool hilltop fortress, 1,000 men, women, and children up there, eventually killed by the Romans. But now the Romans have had enough. And the Romans essentially said, you can't stay here anymore. Jews are no longer allowed here. Goodbye. You're gone. And so they were scattered to the winds. Now, I had brought up the Assyrians and Babylonians earlier, but you should know, between the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and then all this armed conflict, a lot of Jews were already leaving the area because it's friggin' horrible. I mean, who wants to stay in this place? So they're already finding safe places. But the Romans just kind of put an official stamp on it. It's official. You're not welcome. Goodbye. They kicked them all out. So they scattered across the globe. A renewed call to establish a safe place for Jews really began getting ramped up because of the pogroms, or the pogroms. I still don't know how to say it. Everyone says it differently. The pogroms that were happening all over, really everywhere. They were all over Europe. They were all over Russia. And what it was, what they were, was essentially, honestly, what you just saw over the weekend. That's really what it was. And I'm not trying to in any way downplay the horror you just saw, but I want you to understand what you just saw is something that has taken place a million times in the history of the world. It's just that now you can watch it on your cell phone. They would take these Jewish neighborhoods, these Jewish areas, and the local political leaders, mayors and governors and whatnot, they would whip the people up into a frenzy that if there was ever a problem, whatever the problem was, hey, we got this house collapsed or whatever. If the people were angry, they would whip the public up into a frenzy
And the public would form a gigantic mob. And the mob would storm into the Jewish neighborhoods, and they would kill the men, and they would rape the women, and kill them too, and kill the kids. And it was just this horrible raid on Jewish areas. And this wasn't a one-off. This was the norm. It was simply what happened. Well, Jews obviously weren't that pleased about this situation. And the different Jews reacted different ways. Some, and this would probably have been me, were more militant about it. They would start their own groups, their own protection groups, and they'll go find you if you try to do it. But even that, if you get crossways with the nation state where you reside, even that's going to get bad. So this international movement began to return the Jews to Israel. I won't go into all the different backstory there. It's so long. It's a really, really fascinating backstory, but there's a ton of it. And eventually they began coming into Israel, coming back, being invited in. Israel is, at this point in time, under the British. The British are running things down there under this time. Jews are coming back into Israel. Palestinians were in Israel. The Jews began their conquest of the Palestinians about this time. And I don't care what your opinion is about that. I hate when people get namby-pamby about America and the Indians and stuff like, well, no, we treated them very well. No, we didn't. We conquered the country. And I'm not of the impression that I don't think that that's bad. A lot of people, most people, left, right, and middle, let's pause on this for a second. They believe conquest is inherently evil all the time. People believe that. I do not. In fact, you'll get this a lot from people on the right, too. They think conquest is evil. All conquest is evil. Really? Have you read the Old Testament? Have you read the Old Testament? Conquest is not always evil. Sometimes it's ordered by God himself. Conquest is not always evil. We conquered America. The Jews conquered Israel. Again, pushed the Palestinians out. There were all kinds of rebels and rebellions and clashes and violence. And it was a horrible thing. And they're blowing each other up and bombs and everything else. But eventually, Israel gets their own state. Their own state of Israel. That's the state of Israel you see now. In an agreement, this is something basically brokered internationally, they left a portion of it for the Palestinian people who wanted to remain there. Now, we need to pause for a brief moment because people get confused about this. People think this is a war between Judaism and Islam. If you think that, you don't understand the region at all. Like, a quarter of the Israeli Defense Force are Muslims. Muslims are all over Israel. There's not a hostile relationship between Jews and Muslims in Israel. There's not a hostile relationship there. It's not. Now, are there radicalized Muslims and terrorist ones? And there is, yes. But this they work with each other. They live right by each other. Remember, Jerusalem itself has a Muslim quarter, has a Jewish quarter, has a Christian quarter, has an Armenian Christian quarter. So let's go back to this Palestinian thing. This is where, you know how I warn all the time about that half-open door? Nothing more dangerous than a half-open door, because that's what can hurt you. If it's closed, you'll see it and open it. If it's open, you'll just walk through. If it's half open, you'll walk right into the side of it from the pointy side and split your face open. The dangers of half-conquest. America has done this many times. Half-conquest. Israel did it, my opinion. I understand that everyone was trying to be nice, but no, you can have your place. No, you can have, just you guys just settle down there. And they've paid for this ever since. You're seeing on your television set the price of half conquest. If you're going to do a thing, then do a thing. So that has led us to where we are now. Now, all that said, let's get off of all this. Let's talk about RFK today. Oh, gosh. And fentanyl and all kinds of things. But first, let's talk about something wonderful. You feel like doing something wonderful with all this ugliness and blood and death and misery out there? How about saving a life? What if today you gave $28 to preborn and saved a baby's life? Plenty of people have died in the past few days. What about making sure someone lives? Preborn, they're giving free ultrasounds to women who have already decided to have an abortion.
They're actually looking for a clinic. And preborn tells them, hey, what about a free ultrasound? You buy that ultrasound for that woman. She hears the heartbeat and she chooses life almost every time. It's just a connection between a mother and her baby. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go to give your $28. It saves a baby's life. Preborn.com/Jesse. All right. In times that are dark, it makes me feel good to do good for others. Preborn.com/Jesse. We got another hour. Hang on.